Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back. We've got 25 more minutes of this program. It's called Today's Issues. We're live on American Family Radio. American Family Radio. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman and Dr. Ray Pritchard joining us from Dallas, and just joining us in studio is American Family Radio's Steve Jordahl as well. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Did tag team there with Fred Jackson. By the way, folks, within, I don't know, 2 or 3 days, we should be on the air in Jacksonville, Florida with American Family Radio.
Yep.
We're just, days away from that happening. We're really excited about that. We've, in the last year, added stations in Montgomery, Alabama, Lexington, Kentucky, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. We upgraded there in Baton Rouge. New Orleans.
Corpus Christi. Put
a station on in New Orleans, Corpus Christi.
Huntsville.
Huntsville, Alabama. And I'm trying to think.
Northern Virginia. Right.
Yep.
Yeah, a station we got out of Culpeper, which reaches into Northern Virginia. So we've added a lot of new listeners to American Family Radio, and we're really excited about going on the air in Jacksonville. Jacksonville, Ray's, I don't know, it's like 1 million people or so.
Yeah, it is, and it's booming. That's a booming part of the state of Florida. A lot of people are moving there. So
they're legal.
Yes.
Just
Jacksonville's a great city.
Just the city inside the city limits is 900,000.
Well, then it's probably 1.2, 1.3 if you
right.
the whole metro
the
area.
Whole area. Right.
There maybe more than that, I don't know, but yeah, that's going to be very soon we'll be on the air there in Jacksonville, like this week sometime.
I got a friend who used to play for the Jaguars for 4 or 5 years.
No kidding.
Yeah. He's a youth pastor at the church that I went to.
Can you tell us his name? Do you remember?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, what position did he play?
He was tight end, long snapper.
Long slapper.
That's a new position.
A new position.
Long slapper.
Wow.
And his name is just running away from me right now. He's the men's pastor and the youth pastor at the church that I went to, Woodman Valley, in...
Tell it to slow down.
So y'all weren't so tight, he gave you tickets.
Well, he was.
You can't remember his name.
He was past his NFL playing days by the time he became a youth pastor.
Oh,
people don't generally need to have a youth pastor job if they're in the NFL.
True.
Generally, they wait.
That's right.
That's true. Then
his name will come to me in a second.
You know, most NFL players don't. Right? People don't know this. They're year to year. On their pay. Whereas in baseball, professional baseball, for example, you have long-term contracts. I think basketball, I'm not sure how that works, NBA. But football, unless you're a superstar.
Right, like a Tom Brady or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Your average NFL player out there has a year-to-year contract. So if they get hurt, they're done.
And what's the average length of an NFL career? What,
like three, four years?
Yeah, something like that. Pretty short.
Yeah, so... It doesn't necessarily translate to just because you make an NFL team that you're set for life.
Right.
Financially. A lot of people think that's the case, but that's not necessarily true. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. Please check out our Facebook page, Walker. Is it Facebook Live?
Yeah, Today's Issues on Facebook. You can watch the show there or find out any of the stories we've talked about. One recent story I posted is from OneNewsNow.com, which is our own news source. And the article's titled, Four Arguments Against Christian Florist Ruling, which is talking about Baronell Stutzman.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Very good article there to go read.
Mm. Ray, I want to ask you, then we'll get Steve to jump in here on what's happening in the news. Yesterday was President's Day, right?
Right, right.
Which I didn't like that when they made that generic.
Because it's supposed to be Washington's birthday, right?
Well, we grew up celebrating George Washington's birthday.
That's exactly right. Father of the country.
And we should.
Right.
Even today, you're talking about the father of our country. George Washington deserves a holiday just to himself, for goodness sakes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They used to have the two big ones where we'd celebrate George Washington's birthday and Abraham Lincoln's birthday.
Right. Right.
And then they merged them into President's Day, which loses
its... A generic holiday.
Yeah, right? It loses its... Except for the... I guess the federal government closes down, and I know banks close down, but nobody... What do you do on President's Day? Nobody... When you used to have George Washington Day, you celebrated the life of George Washington. You studied right. him, what he meant right. to our country. And same thing with President Abraham Lincoln. Well, it just doesn't have the same feel anymore. But you had these protests around the country. The liberals just look for something to protest. You know, some day to give them reason to go out and protest, other than it's just Monday or Tuesday. Right. We had President's Day, so we had these people out protesting. Some of them got violent, like in Portland, Oregon. But they were protesting on President's Day because, right, they said President Trump, is not their president.
What does that even mean, to say he's not my president? He is the president, right? Legally elected, right. Won the Electoral College. So when you say, and look, if that had been done by the Republicans when Obama was president, right, wow, if the Republicans had dared to say that, I mean, to say,
yeah.
We're going to claim this man is not our president. It's one thing to say you disagree with President Trump. It's another thing to say that you wish he weren't president. You're going to work to get him out of office or whatever. But to say this man is not our president, it's nonsensical on its face. So what did they accomplish other than getting in the breaking news yesterday?
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is President Obama made me frustrated almost every day with his policies and his right. statements and things, all of which I disagreed with, but I never got to the point where I said he's not my president. I mean, first, factually, that's wrong. If you're a right. U.S. citizen,
you're an American
president.
Citizen, he is
if
your
you
president.
Say, you can just say I don't like him or I disagree right. with him, but right. saying he's not my president, that's foolish.
Right. I just found it interesting, not to get too deep on this, but think about this for a minute. They're protesting with signs that say, not my president.
Right.
They're protesting the president that's not their president. Now, how does that work exactly?
Right. I mean, what are you saying? You're not going to pay your taxes?
Well, they've been saying that.
You know, let us know how that works out for you.
I mean, I mean, just think about it. If your position is he's not your president,
right.
okay, you're going to pretend in your own little world that he's not your president when he is.
Fine.
But you're protesting against a mythical figure.
Right. It's right. like if you don't believe in Santa Claus, but you protest
Santa
against
Claus.
Santa Claus.
Yeah. Anyway, go figure the left, right?
Right.
They're
that,
just...
That, no, this doesn't... It didn't make any sense. Steve, yeah. did it accomplish anything at all yesterday other than get some news coverage?
Well, I did. I worked. I got two stories done. I got a story for the shadow government. Man, I was... because Trump is my president. If he wasn't my president, I don't know what I would have done.
Right, what you would have done yesterday.
It would have been hard. Yeah.
Steve, what's it? What's top of the news?
Top of the page at onenewsnow.com. We've got a column by David Barton talking about the Baron Stutzman case and taking a little
Baronelle.
Baronelle Stutzman. Sorry, I'm trying to give her nobility. Looking back a little bit at how the judges are using the Constitution, well, not unconstitutionally, let's just say. And so it's a good column by David Barton. We also got a story by our own Charlie Butts about a St. Louis ordinance. In St. Louis, they have made abortion a protected class, which means it means that you that just like it what it means is that a landlord can decline to put a pro-life group in a building across the street from a Planned Parenthood. It means that you can put restrictions on those.
Oh, you mean like a crisis pregnancy center?
Exactly.
Or something that's an alternative to an abortion clinic?
Right.
And they can't. What you're saying, they're telling the pro-life groups you can't get so close
because they're a protected class. It would be like, yeah. So they're
Marvin Sanders, the late Marvin Sanders, my friend and colleague, used to call it the abortion distortion.
Yeah.
Because when you rational. Common sense does not apply to abortion. That's why Gosnell, the abortion doctor in Philadelphia, can get away with what he got away with for so long, with the gruesome, unsanitary. We all remember that situation in Philadelphia. Well, you go, how can somebody get away with that? It's because the health department didn't regulate it because it was an abortion facility.
Right.
Because
right.
abortion has a special place with the left mm-hmm. where they protect it beyond what they would any other kind of medical facility, Ray.
So now you're saying, Steve, that in St. Louis, abortion clinics are being protected by law.
Abortion, yeah, it's
boy,
it's,
that's a strange one.
Yeah, it is strange.
It's a new protected class. It's just another way that the abortion industry is kind of circling the wagons, as it will.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, this is why exactly we have to eventually see Roe versus Wade overturned or see Congress outlaw abortion, because if we even allow in our country for abortion to be, quote, legal according to the court system, then they can do stuff like this, and there's not much room for legal criticism. But as long as abortion is legal, then you're going to see things like this.
Yeah. A lot of crisis pregnancy centers, most all of them are Christian-based and Christian-supported around the country, and they offer an alternative to these young ladies, mostly young ladies who come in. They're pregnant. They want maybe a free ultrasound done to confirm that they're pregnant. And then the CPC tries to counsel them to, well, if they don't know the Lord, to, you know, give their lives to Jesus Christ. But secondly, you know, also to not kill their baby.
Right.
You know, that's, and it works a lot of the time.
It does.
So that is a threat to a Planned Parenthood clinic, for example, who does abortions, because they make money off of abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't want potential clients of theirs going down to the crisis pregnancy center and being talked out of an abortion. You see, that's what's at play here. I think the bottom line is money for the abortionist and the abortion clinics. Ray, does that stand to reason?
Well, look, abortion is a big industry. It's a big money industry. It's,
right.
You know, this isn't just, you know, quote, the freedom argument. This is a big money
right.
industry for Planned Parenthood and for the doctors and the nurses and the medical personnel who kill these unborn babies, and they don't want to lose it. It's too lucrative. And, you know, it's going to take – I was just thinking, listening to you guys talk, we got to remind ourselves always we're in a long battle here.
Right.
We got to play the long game when it comes to abortion.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take – we're 44 years out now from Roe v. Wade. It's going to be a while yet. Walker, I hope that if not in my lifetime, in yours, we can live
yeah.
to see – Roe v. Wade overturned, but we're going to have patience, pray, and work toward that end. It's not going to happen quickly.
Yeah, I'm reading this One News Now article, and you may have already said this, so forgive me if you have, Steve, but this would require Catholic schools to hire pro-abortion teachers.
It would refuse Catholic schools from denying pro-abortion
right,
teachers a job. They don't have to go out and find someone that's pro-abortion. But if someone that's pro-abortion comes and says, I want a job, they can't deny them a job based
right.
on their religious beliefs. It's if you put someone in a protected class, just wherever you have the word abortion, put, for example, the word black. You can't deny somebody a room because they're black. Now this means a landlord can't deny somebody a lease because they're pro-abortion. So if I own a building and Planned Parenthood or some other abortionist wants to come in and lease from me, I can't say based on my religious convictions, you can't do that. It means it'll put restrictions.
Well, that'll be tested in court.
Well, it is ripe for a challenge, according to our Charlie Butts, who wrote the story.
Yeah.
But the other thing I'm seeing, the other trend that I'm seeing along these same lines is there's several municipalities, and I can't bring them up by name right now, but that are requiring pro-life pregnancy centers to put on their wall, if you want an abortion, here's where you go. And it's requiring the counselors there to make them say that an abortion is an alternative. So a woman walks into a pro-life pregnancy center and she says, I'm having a problem. And they're right on the wall says, if you want an abortion, go to. This is the government requiring pro-life people to put a referral to abortion services right on their wall, and to tell the people, hand them a list. It says, if you would rather have an abortion than have your child, this is where you go. How would you, Ray, how would you like to be made to tell that? Someone comes into your office for counseling, and the government says, by the way, you have to tell them that they can go get an abortion.
How is this not a violation of the First Amendment?
Right.
How is
I agree.
It not? Well, again, it's ripe for it's ripe for a challenge, but it just hasn't made its way up yet to the Supreme Court.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Walker Wildman and Steve Jordahl. Dr. Ray Pritchard's co-hosting with us today from Dallas. And we encourage you to check out our website, the news website of our ministry, called onenewsnow.com, onenewsnow.com. And Steve, what's
next?
Yes,
sir. I've got, I found a couple congressmen in Democrats in Congress by the names of Ted Lieu from California.
You found them, were they?
I found a story about them. Their names, they are very lost. Their names are Ted Lieu of California and Don Beyer of Virginia, and they have published a document that they would like to give to those who are in the administration that will help them leak information to the press about the Trump the Trump administration. It is their document.
Wait, come again now. Repeat that again. Exactly what you're talking about here. You have two Democrat congressmen.
Right.
And they want to do what now?
This is from the Vocative. I don't recommend you go there. It's a fairly liberal site. It's clean, but it's fairly liberal anyway. But this is what they write. In an act of defiance toward the administration of President Donald Trump, two sitting members of Congress have issued a brief guide for federal employees who want to leak information to the public. So we've seen a lot of leaks in the White House, and many of them have been criminal because they're leaking classified information. Well, these two congressmen put out a little two-page or one-page document that says, speaking truth to power, this is how you do it. Know your rights, and then here's how we're going to help you communicate so you can hide it from the White House.
Now, there's a difference. We already have laws on the books to protect whistleblowers, right?
Well, let me read you what those laws say.
Is this a whistleblower situation, or is this different?
What the congressmen are saying, they're reminding these leftover Obama people who want to cause trouble, they're reminding them of their rights under the Whistleblower Protection Act. So under the Whistleblower Protection Act, you cannot be retaliated for disclosing a violation of the law, rule, or regulation, number one. Number two, gross mismanagement. Number three, gross waste of funds. Number four, an abuse of authority. Or number five, a substantial and specific danger to the public health or safety. What chances do you think somebody who is ideologically opposed to what the president is doing can find a way to put what they want to leak out, some damaging information about the administration, into one of those five broad categories?
Yeah, but what's specific is whistleblowers are leaking or releasing illegal activity going on within the government. Leakers are releasing documents that they disagree with on an ideological basis.
Well,
what's been going on with the Trump presidency.
And you can find a way, I'm sure, if you I believe this is an abuse of authority, or I believe this is a substantial danger to the public.
Right.
They do say here, and they say classified materials are not covered under the Whistleblower Protection Act, nor is information unrelated to the above categories. However, those are broad categories. And yes, I think that little clause is going to keep these congressmen from going to prison for suborning an illegal act, but yet they are trying to, and then they go and say, this is the app that you can use to bring these illegally gotten documents to the public, and you won't be found. So these two congressmen are basically, again, trying to worm their way into the administration, find anything they can to find the next Watergate or whatever, because they are intent on taking this administration down by any means possible.
Should we be surprised by this? On the one hand, Washington leaks like a sieve anyway, right? It's always been that way. In a sense, what these two congressmen, these Democrats, are doing, this is like a shout-out to the holdover bureaucrats in whatever department. If you don't like the Trump administration, leak it out, and we'll be here to take up your cause. I think it's just a kind of a, it's a way of encouraging the leakers. Go, if you're thinking about it, get the information out here, and we'll be on your side.
Yeah, and where are these representatives from? Steve?
California and what did I say? Virginia.
Yeah, if I were their constituents, I would be frustrated that my tax dollars are being spent on them doing diddly-daddling.
Well,
this
these
stuff
are
like this.
These are people in fairly liberal,
fairly safe,
safe districts. Yeah. So their taxpayers are probably encouraging
probably
to do this.
Happy about this. Yeah.
There is an awful lot of anger going on out there. In fact, did you hear, guys, that they have a new diagnosis called post-electoral stress disorder?
Goodness.
No.
Yeah, this is today's news. I don't know if it's in the DSM manual, so I don't want to say it's an official diagnosis. But they
a
are
lot of
calling
people
it,
have it, whatever it is, Steve.
They're calling
going
it
going around
post-election stress disorder, PESD. And so what they're saying is that that our soldiers and men and women in uniform who have suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder, this really trivializes what they're going through. Because you cannot compare, although they are, you cannot compare the trauma that you get from having a gun fired at you and living in constant threat of your life with the fact that you lost an election. But they're doing it.
Well, these
I don't know. Meryl Streep might beg to differ on that one. See?
Yeah, she can beg all she wants, but
she's under a lot of stress right
talk
now.
Talk to a Navy SEAL or
she's
two.
Cracked a
right,
times
find out
on
what
national
those guys
television.
Went through.
You're listening to Today's Issues. So that's called PESD. Huh?
PESD.
Is that
cookies and milk and the puppies, right?
That's right.
Is that where the snowflakes are?
Well, some of the snowflakes now, you see, this is a disease or a cure and look for a disease. So I'm sure that a lot of people, when they hear, I guess I am traumatized over this. So
speaking of this, these super fragile individuals who can't handle anything serious, the Blaze is doing what they're calling the Snowflake Awards instead of like the Grammys. On the same night of the Grammys, they're doing the Snowflake Awards. And here's what their website reads. Please help us salute the fragile, frail, and feeble famous by voting for your favorite snowflake below. The Snowflake Awards was established to honor notable hypersensitive citizens, those who, when subject to the slightest pressures of life, begin to melt. Watch the Snowflake Awards Sunday night, February 26, 2017.
They're probably going to give out hundreds, if not thousands, of awards.
Yeah. Right now, Colin Kaepernick is one of the best snowflakes on this list.
Really?
And Michael Moore and Miley Cyrus.
So they could win. Yeah. They could win a Snowflake Oscar.
Believe me.
That's a finalist.
Yeah. But the problem is that the award they get is a snowflake, and they get out of the building and it's destroyed.
And it's
nothing to
right.
see for it.
Right.
Take a picture because it ain't gonna last.
And then they have to go to their safe space.
That's right.
That's right.
In a freezer.
Bless their hearts. All right.
And you said that in the southern way, didn't you?
Yeah.
Bless their little hearts.
Yeah. Bless their hearts. Bless their hearts covers that you say something without having to be rude. What's considered rude to people. Bless your hearts means they're not very smart. It's code for they're not very smart. You say bless their hearts, you're really saying
right. It's not a compliment.
No,
right.
What you're really saying is they're dumb.
That's right.
But without telling them they're dumb. All right, we thank you for listening, Ray. Thank you, appreciate it.
Thanks, Tim.
Steve.
Thank you, Tim.
Walker, thank you for your contribution.
Yes, sir.
And we appreciate you listening, folks, to American Family Radio. Today's Issue is the name of this show. We'll be back here tomorrow. The Bible teaching program is straight ahead.
Alex Trebek.
With, not Trebek, he's a game show host.
Alistair Begg.
Oh, you said Alistair Begg. I thought you said Alex Trebek.
No.
See you tomorrow, folks.